We're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 8 this morning, at least we'll read that. We're going to be looking at most of Deuteronomy, in fact, because as I introduced last week, the book of Deuteronomy really covers only the last month of the life of Moses. The last month before he died, Moses had to speak to the children of Israel that he had led for 40 years, and he is about to leave them, so he has many things to say to them. The book of Deuteronomy has in it many expressions, many words, many phrases that are used quite widely in that book that are not used anywhere else, or hardly used anywhere else. In fact, Deuteronomy has more occasions of saying remember than any other book in the Bible. That is to say, remember as a commandment. Remember, remember, remember. Because Moses was trying to remind them of all that had happened in the last 40 years. In fact, the last 400 years. Here was a people who had been in bondage in Egypt, that he had led from Egypt through this wilderness right to the borders of the promised land. And that's where these words are spoken. Deuteronomy. We looked last week at the introduction of it because he had to remind them particularly before he even started to say, remember, remember, of the path that they had come. Because at the beginning of their 40 years wandering in the wilderness, they had rebelled against the Lord by that time, 10 times, that was 40 years before he is speaking. And as he speaks to them, he says, remember how you came to the very borders of Israel, but you refused to go in. The spies were sent up to the land and they came back with a report. You said, no, we won't go. There are giants in the land. There's too many obstacles. We will not go. That was 40 years ago. God dealt with you then because that whole generation did not enter the land. But just a few months ago, I want to remind you, said he, of something else that happened. And that was that even although you had in time past given your word that you would obey the Lord in all his ways, even although you had said all that the Lord has spoken we will do, yet just a few months ago you joined yourselves to these heathen nations around you, worshipped their gods, joined in marriage with them, bringing the name of your God into disrepute, bringing the whole of the nation indeed to be mingled among the nations, which was certainly not God's purpose in bringing you out of Egypt and bringing you into Canaan, planning to bring you into Canaan. So he reminds them of these things, and that's what we looked at last week. Their unbelief, first of all, not taking God at his word, who said, I will take you in. I have prepared a land for you. I have spied out the land for you, and I will take you into that land, a land that I promised to you. They did not believe. Unbelief. The second thing they were guilty of was world conformity, joining with the world, that which God had forbidden them. Now today we're going to be looking at one of the words that occurs in Deuteronomy, more than in any other book of the Bible, except the book of Psalms, but even in Psalms it is not the command, it is not the imperative, remember. It is rather, I remember thee upon my bed, etc. It is the commandment, remember, occurs in Deuteronomy more often than in any other book of the Bible, and that is the word that we're going to think of today, because as Moses speaks to them, there is much to be remembered. And yet it has a word for us. You know, it's not only in the Old Testament we read the word remember. We read it in the New as well. We may have occasion to look at a couple of them. But let's think, first of all, of the words here that are written in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I'd like to read from verse 2 through verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee those 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass or copper. And when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. May the Lord speak to us, not just from these words, but from all of these occasions in Deuteronomy where he says, remember. I've looked through all of them. I think there are 13 or 14 occasions when the word remember is commanded in the book of Deuteronomy. And I've tried to kind of classify them a little bit. And so that's why they're in four sections here. Because there were some things that Moses told them particularly that they needed to remember. The first five of them I've noted for you here under number one. It was this. All five of these are associated with remembering that you were a slave in Egypt. Now I'd like somebody to read these perhaps. We'll read them in turn. Let's look first of all at chapter 5 and verse 15 of Deuteronomy. Somebody read it for us as soon as you find it. And then somebody else with the ones that follow on will take them in turn. First of all, number 5, 15. Deuteronomy 5, 15. Who's got that? Thank you. You see, here is the first of them in Deuteronomy 5, chapter 5 and verse 15. He says, you'll remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and for that reason you will keep the Sabbath. The seventh day is a day in which you will remember that you were a slave. It's interesting that way back in the book of Genesis we find out, and you can check it for yourself, because this, when the commandments were given in Exodus chapter 20, the reason given, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, was because on the seventh day, after creating all that is in this world, God rested and hallowed the seventh day, considered it a holy day, a day of rest. So that's what Sabbath means, rest. But when we come to Deuteronomy, we find that that's not the reason that's given at all. The reason is this. You remember the Sabbath day because you were a slave. Isn't that very interesting? The Sabbath, by the way, was only given to Israel. I know it began in Eden. But as far as I can gather from the whole of Genesis, the Exodus, it is not until the people are in the wilderness that the commandment to remember the Sabbath is given.
Israel is the people to whom it is given, and it is given as a perpetual covenant, something that they were to observe all of the days of their existence. The seventh day Sabbath. It is also interesting that in all of the Gentile nations, and for that matter throughout the world, it's very easy to divide the year and the months and the days because of the heavenly bodies that order these things. You see, there are 12 months in the year because rain comes every month. So every year there is a change of that season kind of order. Every day we go to bed at night and we get up the next morning because there's a change. But that was only from God, you see. And he had said to his people, look, you will remember that Sabbath, that seventh day Sabbath. Because, not just because God rested on the seventh day, because you were slaves in Egypt. There were no Sabbaths in Egypt. They never observed the Sabbath in Egypt. How could they? They were slaves. They were made to work there. Hard taskmasters made them work whatever day of the week it was. Said God, you'll remember the Sabbath day. You will observe that Sabbath day. Because you were every remembrance of that seventh day Sabbath will be to you. See, there is no command in the New Testament for believers to observe a seventh day Sunday. It was given to Gentiles at all, and it's certainly not given to the church. And yet, there are occasions in the New Testament scriptures where, not on the seventh day Sabbath, but on the first day of the week, the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthian believers to lay aside that which belonged to God, which they could give and should give to God and to his word. Because the Sabbath day, as it is called in some of the theological books, the Christian Sabbath, so it is just that on the first day of the week, the day when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, as that day that is given over to God, a day on which we necessarily rest, but rather a day on which we acknowledge that God is the giver of all, and that we give to him that which is his. So John, I believe, on the first day of the week, was the one who had that vision, of which we have our whole last book of the Bible, Revelation. He was in the Spirit, says he, on the Lord's day. But it's very different from the Sabbath. The Sabbath belongs to Israel. It is the seventh day. The Lord's day is that first day of the week. And it is that in which, at least in the New Testament scriptures, we find that the disciples honoured and acknowledged that here was that remembrance day of the Lord. But I don't want to go into that too deeply there, because we're never really commanded it in the New Testament, but I believe that we should give some thought to this, that on the Lord's day we give to him that which is his due. But anyway, they were to remember it because they had been slaves. When we remember what we were, does it not make us thankfully able to remember the Lord's day? Think about it anyway. What's the second one here? 15:15. Deuteronomy 15:15.
Thou shalt remember
the poor. If you read the context of it, you will find that it is because they are to remember the poor, those who are poor among them, those who have sold themselves to their brethren as slaves. For instance, if a man got into debt and couldn't pay it, he had to go and work for his creditor. Now he says, you will remember that you were a slave, and remember how you treat your poor brethren, because you were a slave in Egypt. In other words, this is going to have an effect upon you as to how you treat other people. Does that have anything to say to me? I think I've put a few references. You can look them up yourself. Galatians 2 tells us how the Apostle Paul, when he met with some of the other apostles in Jerusalem, was only instructed to remember the poor. Oh, he says, I've been always ready to remember the poor. I always do that kind of thing anyway. Which thing I was zealous to do, to remember the poor. I think we need to remember that it was not because of any worth and any value that we had that we were redeemed. That was the word in 15:15. You were redeemed as slaves out of Egypt, not because of anything you could contribute to your redemption, but it came from one of far greater resources than that. But you remember now that you are redeemed, how you deal with others. What's the next one say? Deuteronomy 16:12.
particular, the statutes of which it is speaking, if you read the context again, you'll have to read it for yourself, but it has to do with the feasts of Israel, the various times they had to come together and remember the way in which God had redeemed them. They were to observe the Passover, an annual kind of remembrance of their escape from Egypt, of their coming out. Remember, year after year, the Passover. Remember these various feasts throughout the year. And God gives them a list of them when they are to remember. And in all of these cases, they were to remember that they had been redeemed. They had been bought by God. Through that blood of the Lamb, they had been bought as a people for himself. And because of that, they were to observe these things. I've given you a couple of references there too. Because surely it is that when we gather together to remember the Lord, it is to say, I was that slave of sin and of Satan. I have been bought. And in the remembrance of this, week by week, month by month, however it goes on, as we remember our Lord Jesus Christ, it is to cast our minds back. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a slave. Thou wast a bondman. Slave of Satan. But you've been redeemed. Therefore do this. And it is because of these words, time after time after time, they're reminded, you were a slave. Here's a couple more. What was 24:18?
Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord your God redeemed you.
Huh? What it was they were commanded to do was to see that the fatherless and the widows and the strangers were not dealt with harshly. After all, in the heathen societies of the day, fatherless, widows, aliens, how do you deal with them? Treat them as dogs. No, not so among you. You will remember that you were a slave in Egypt. You were once in that position, but the Lord your God redeemed you. You see, it was going to have an effect upon their life. And the last one I've noted for you there was 24:22. Who's got that? Because again you're reminded, you were a slave. 24.
And thou shalt remember that thou wast a slave in the land of Egypt.
The verses that are around it will tell you that it was to, when they had a harvest, they were not to reap the corners of the harvest. In other words, they were to say, even if they hadn't got it at the first cutting, they were to leave it there. And they were to leave it there for the poor. They were to leave it there for those who had no resources. The same when they came to their gathering of fruits, the vintage and the grapes and all of the fruits they had. If you don't get it after the shaking of the tree and gathering your fruits, just leave it there. The poor will come along and strip it. Just remember that you were a slave. Just remember that you had no resources. Just remember that this is going to have an effect upon your life. You were a slave. And so the first five that I've noted there, first five occasions of remember in the book of Deuteronomy had to do with this. Remember your past state and condition. Is there any verse in the New Testament that says to the Christian, you remember? I noted one of them there for you. I'm sure there's a lot more. What does it say? Maybe somebody can read that one for us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Remember about yourself here. The Apostle Paul is the writer as he writes to Ephesians, the Ephesian believer. What does he say? Ephesians 2. Wherefore remember. Oh, remember. He says it twice over, I think, there. Remember that you were Gentiles in the flesh. You were separated from God. You had no hope. Remember. But God, now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were afar off, have been brought nigh through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just remember this. Keep this ever in mind. Is it going to make a difference to your life? Surely it would. If I constantly remembered what I was, and how I was incapable of bringing myself out of that, but only for the grace of God, I'm brought into this kind of thing. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul is really saying there? Remember. I've written some effects there that might come from such remembrance. I've noted a few of them for you there. Philippians chapter 2. The Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself. You know, the remembrance of the fact that we were slaves to sin and to Satan should keep us humble. We should never get to the place where we think we're above somebody else. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 8 there, I did this to humble you. I learn in other scriptures there that the Apostle Peter, for instance, when he is writing there, he says, be clothed with humility one to another. Treat one another with that humility of mind and heart. It keeps constantly in mind, that's where I was. Was it not the Apostle Paul too who had something to say about that when he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God I am what I am. Here's another thing that might come from it. I've written there Psalm 103, the way in which the psalmist says, God has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If you keep that in mind, see, remember what you were. God hasn't dealt with me the way he might have dealt with me. It keeps me humble. It keeps me thankful. We were reading in 1 Thessalonians, weren't we, about being thankful, chapter 5. In all things, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then the third thing I've noted for you there is 1 Peter chapter 3, being compassionate. Be compassionate one of another. Luke chapter 10 tells me about a man, a Samaritan man, who saw a man in need. And it is written there, he had compassion on him. When the Lord Jesus asked the one who was asking the question about compassion, he said, who was it that showed compassion on him? Who was it that was the one who was truly the merciful one to him? He that had mercy. Oh, it didn't matter whether he was high in ecclesiastical circles. It didn't matter whether he was great in the world's estimation. But here is a man who comes along, a despised man, but he had compassion on him. So these things were written, we'll check a little later, these things were written that Israel might learn some lessons. The lessons of humility, the lessons of thankfulness, the lessons of compassion and care. Remember, wherefore remember that ye, Gentiles, in time past, walking after the course of this world, without God, without hope, remember, by God's grace you are what you are. The second little connection there I've got for you is remember your redemption. Remember your redemption. The redemption that took place of Israel from Egypt is spoken of in two ways in the scripture. First of all, it's spoken of by power. God could say that he redeemed them with a strong hand and a mighty arm. There was nothing lacking in the power of God when he took them out of Egypt. He took them out of Egypt to the destruction of Pharaoh and his hosts. It was quite evident, for they had no power. Here were a people who had been slaves for 400 years, but as they left that land of Egypt and Pharaoh pursued them, hemmed in by the mountains, the Red Sea in front of them, no hope. God steps in, opens the waters before them. They pass through as on dry land. But as Pharaoh and his hosts follow them, not one of them found. Israel could sing a song of rejoicing on the other side of the Red Sea. It was by power they were redeemed. But they were redeemed in some other way as well, according to the scripture. They were redeemed not just by power, but they were redeemed to purity. That is to say, they were now to be a people separated from all that Egypt spoke of and all that Egypt was. They were now separated unto God. And not one of them ever went back to Egypt. Not one. They belonged now to God, and the testimony they bore was a testimony to God. His deliverance by power. But now they were separated from the nation, a people unto his name. And the manner in which that was shown was this: that on the night they left the land of Egypt, the bread they had was unleavened bread, and that was to be their food, and it was their food until God could give them manna from on high. Separate. Even throughout the scripture speaks of sin. Offerings were ever given with leaven in them. The Lord Jesus could speak of the leaven of the Pharisees, the hypocrisy, the sin, the leaven of Herod, because leaven works, you see, in such a way that it fills everything, working its way throughout all that it contaminates. So said he, you will be separated, and this will be the mark of your separation. The same thing is true in the New Testament scriptures concerning the believer. But let's look at the words, first of all, in 7:18, because he tells them to remember the fact that they were redeemed by power to purity. 7:18. Who's got that one?
Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt.
Thank you. You see, you'll not be afraid of them. Here is the redemption by power that God had accomplished for them. If they had been redeemed from the hand of Pharaoh, was there another power on the whole of the earth that they could be afraid of? You won't be afraid of any of them. There might be enemies ahead of you, but what's that got to do? You've been redeemed from the greatest power. Egypt, Pharaoh. They can't do anything to you. If God has redeemed you from that, if he has brought you out from that power, shall he not accomplish the lesser? I learn from the New Testament scriptures that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have been brought out from the greatest enemy of all. There is no other enemy can ever come anywhere close to what Satan, in all his power, could accomplish. It is written, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, the Lord Jesus, also himself, likewise, took part of the same." That he, through death, might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. To the believer, there's no fear of death. The death is man's last enemy. If that has been destroyed, what else is there? Can the believer fear anything else if he doesn't even fear death? You see, by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we in him are going to rise from the dead. And because of that, death has no sting. Therefore it is also written, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The sting of death is sin, but that's been dealt with. The strength of sin is the law, but that's been fulfilled. So it is also written, "A fullness of blessing, whereby we can say, we have victory." You see, it was a destruction of the enemy in such a way that there was no other enemy could ever count. And so God could say, "You will not be afraid of any of them that lie ahead, because the greatest enemy has been destroyed." And that is the way for the Christian too. I wonder if that's how I live, in the consciousness that there is nothing that can bring me to a place where I am defeated, because the greatest enemy has been defeated, and where any other enemy that steps in can bring no fear to me. What a place to live. What's the second one of these two that they were to remember about the redemption? Because it wasn't just by power, it was to purity. 16:3.
You shall eat no leaven.
Oh, remember your redemption. Remember the day you came out of the land of Egypt, and because you remember it, and to keep you remembering it, you will eat unleavened bread. This will be the mark. You will be separated from all that sinfulness that Egypt spoke of. The Apostle Paul could, in his 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, as he was writing there, he could speak to them about the remembrance of the Lord and eating the feast. Wherefore, says he, let us keep the feast, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see, we're to separate it to God, from sin to him. This was the mark of Egypt. This was the mark of Israel as they left the land of Egypt as well. So they were to remember their redemption and what it was, both by power and unto God to purity. There's a couple more then. So we come on to the third section that I marked out for you. It is to remember, and oftentimes it is forget not as well. Remember, forget not. And this is the experiences of the wilderness. Let's just very briefly look through them. The first is in chapter 4, verses 9, 10, and 23, and it has to do with the covenant at Horeb. Let's see, somebody read these three verses perhaps for us, will they? 4, 9, 10, and 23.
"And he said, careful and watch yourself closely.
That'll do. Okay. Did you see the word remember there? The whole point about that chapter is this. It is remember. Remember that covenant that you made. When they stood before the Lord in Horeb, they said, all that the Lord has said we will do. But they didn't. They failed. They failed many times. But they had made that covenant. And God had heard their word. But he says, remember. Remember that path through the wilderness. Because it is because of this that God dealt with them in chastening at times. He sent the fiery serpents. He suffered, they caused them to suffer hunger. He brought them to the place where they could say, we have no water. Time and time again he provided for them. But nevertheless, it was to teach them something. If you come down to the next one, I'm not going to read 8, 2 through 19, we've already done that. But if you come down to chapter 9 and verse 7, he says here, remember how you provoked the Lord to anger. And in the connection there, it is to do with the golden calf that they made. Here were the people who said, all that the Lord has said we will do. We will have no other gods before Jehovah. But they made a golden calf and worshipped that. They provoked the Lord to anger such that he would have wiped them out. But for the prayer of Moses, the man of God, who said, look, if you think you're going to start with me, it'll be no better than what you've got now. And what's more, your name will come into shame because of this people being destroyed. But remember, says God, you provoked me to anger in the wilderness. Remember the wilderness pathway. Remember the path that you've had ever since the day that you came to know the Lord. Remember. Keep it in mind. Oh, it would keep us going, wouldn't it? Let's see, 24:9 deals with the leprosy of Miriam. And that came about too by sin. Miriam was Moses' older sister. I don't know how many years older she was. She was the one who looked after the baby in the basket. And Aaron was Moses' older brother. He was 3 years older than Moses. And both of them said, does the Lord just speak through Moses? Doesn't he speak through us as well? God heard it and judged them. Miriam became a leper for 7 days before God healed her at the prayer of Moses, the man of God. Tells us something about how we should treat our fellow believers. There was another enemy they faced in the wilderness, Amalek. You can read about it too in 24:17 and 19. God said he would have war with Amalek for generation after generation after generation, and no Amalekite could ever come into the camp of Israel. They were forbidden ever to be part of Israel. These things have typical value for us because they speak of a warfare that goes on in the wilderness journey of the believer, going on year after year and day after day. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And by the way, as we go along, there are going to be temptations and difficulties, but as we've read here, there are certain things that we need to remember, all the way which the Lord our God leads us day by day in the wilderness. I've written here, the desert wanderings were a punishment for Israel's sin. There's no question about that. But they were also a time of training for the nation. Humble them. Prove them. Make sure that they would obey God's commandments. It was a time of training. Much is spoken of the older generation's failure. Very often we do. But the younger generation did learn some lessons, believe it or not. I read of men such as Phinehas, who stood for the honour of the Lord. He would even kill a man who clearly and openly disobeyed God's word. He did it because God had said, this is the way you will walk. And that clear, open disobedience in Israel, so that others might follow him, a man of Simeon, Othniel takes his lance and spears him. We read about a man, Phinehas. Othniel was the son-in-law of Caleb. And he too was a man of power and might. A man who could conquer the enemy as they entered the land of Canaan. He became the son-in-law to Caleb. He was his nephew. So there were young men growing up in that nation who were learning the lessons that God intended. And I want to tell you that on our wilderness journey, the times that God chastens us and leads us into difficult places is in order that we might learn. And thank God there are some who do learn. But I've mentioned here, on the older generation, or rather on the younger generation, the wilderness training was not altogether lost. But every successive generation has to learn the lessons of humility and trust and obedience. Chapter 8. Lessons so difficult that even 40 years of Christian experience are sometimes not enough for most of us to learn these kind of lessons. But some of them did. I trust that all of us will have some inklings of learning in this matter today. And the last section I've noted for you here is to remember the faithfulness of God. Maybe somebody can read for us Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 7 through 9. We will make that the final reading. Deuteronomy 32, 7 through 9. The Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Listen to what he's got to say to them. See, in all of their faithlessness, in all of their unbelief, in all of their departure from the living God, God was faithful. He cannot deny himself. He had chosen them as his people and he would look after them. And what do you learn? You learn this. God had chosen them for his own long before they knew about it. He arranged for their welfare long before they were a people, because he set the bounds of the nations according to the number of the children of Israel. He gave the nations their inheritance according to that which he was prepared to do for Israel. Dividing the nation to the nations their inheritance in the earth, he kept in mind all the while the needs of his people yet to be. He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel, reminding us of Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. You know them by heart, don't you? All things work together for good to them that love God. He's got these things planned. God is faithful, and he'll stay faithful, even if we, betimes, are faithless. He did not finally cast off his people. Hath God cast away his people? Romans chapter 11? Of course not. He who chose them for his own is going to see them through. Mind you, it may be a difficult path for them. He may deal with them in such chastising as he only deals with his sons. But he'll see them there. I think we need to keep these things in remembrance. Remember, says he, this is the God who is your God. I've noted for you here too that the church in Ephesus is exhorted to remember. Remember. Ephesus was the church that had left its first love. Remember, says he,
how thou art fallen.
You're no longer where you were. Remember. Remember how thou hast fallen and repent. Because if you don't repent, there's more chastisement. I will come and remove your lampstand out of its place. Remember. These words were spoken to a Christian assembly of believers. Our words written in Revelation chapter 3 to another church in Sardis. They were to remember something else. Not to remember their own failure, but to remember God's faithfulness. Listen to what he says to Sardis. He says here in Revelation chapter 3, you remember the great privileges that are yours. Remember how thou hast received and heard. Think back. How you received the word of God, how you heard it, how you've lived it. Hold fast then what you've got and repent. Keep this in mind. It'll turn your heart to repentance. Remember how you received, how you heard. Hold it fast. He says, if you will not watch, I'll come as a thief. And you'll not know when I'm coming. You see, there is this balance, as it were, that even as we look back on Israel, and we think of this word that goes all the way through Deuteronomy, more times than anywhere else, it says, remember, remember, remember. Have something to remember. Remember that you were slaves. Remember how God has redeemed you with a strong hand and a mighty arm. Keep this in mind. Remember something of this pathway that you've had throughout the life since then. Oh, there's been ups and downs. Maybe more downs than ups. But remember, remember. For all of these times of your faithlessness and of God's faithfulness, and remember that it is yours to repent, turn again to him with whom there is good in mind. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tried above what you're able to bear. He will, with a way of temptation, make a way of escape. This is the God whom we serve. You think about it this week then. Keep it in mind. Remember, remember, remember. Oh, how important it is. God bless you. Next week we're going to look at another phrase that only occurs in the book of Deuteronomy, except for one occurrence outside of it. Out of the midst of the fire. Out of the midst of the fire. Time after time, I think 10 times in Deuteronomy. Out of the midst of the fire. And we'll see what that has to say to us. Let us bow in prayer, shall we? O God, our God and our Father, how we thank thee for thy mercy. How we pray today that our memories may be stirred. Slaves of Satan, redeemed by the blood of Christ, brought into a heavenly walk whereby we are separated unto thee, our God. Thankful, ever thankful, for thy faithfulness and goodness and mercy. We give thee thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen.